Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Hoosier football fans, and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. Along with us is TJ Inman, and we're getting ready for spring football practice, which starts up on March 2nd, just about a week away. Tonight, previewing the offense. We'll take a look at the Hoosier offense, go position by position, look at key players, things to watch, and give you a name of players who are under the radar, who we're watching closely in order for the Hoosiers to have a great spring practice and start 2019 on the right foot. TJ, welcome back to the show. It's always good talking football. How are you doing?
Doing great. Yeah, it definitely doesn't feel like spring. It's still cold. I'm not happy about it, but that's, I guess, the lot we have chosen living in Indiana, so can't complain, I suppose. But definitely excited to be talking about, our first real preview conversation of the 2019 Hoosiers. And that's fun words to say, and it's going to be a fun podcast.
Yeah, it's spring practice is starting. It's Tom Allen's third year after back-to-back 5-7 seasons. A lot of new pieces coming in on offense. A lot of exciting pieces coming in on offense, and a new offensive coordinator, Kalen DeBoer. Just right off the bat, what excites you the most about, the offense going into spring practice?
Well, position, if I'm just choosing one thing, but what most excites me about the offense is I feel like we expect, and this, I guess you can say, is the case with any new coordinator, you're going to be excited about it, but we expect for the pieces that Indiana has, which includes the quarterback and all the skill position players, the pieces that they have to be used in a little bit more of an exciting and perhaps creative way than what we've seen before. And that's what's most exciting to me if I just had to boil it down to one thing.
Yeah, the expectations have definitely increased now that Kalen DeBoer has taken over for Mike DeBoer. The quarterback position is probably the most exciting. Outside of that, I really like the running back room. I think there are a lot of pieces there that can be useful, and we'll start there on our preview, TJ, is the running back room. There are a lot of pieces there. There's a lot of pieces coming in. You add Samson James this spring. You bring back Stevie Scott, who ran for over 1,000 yards, had 10 touchdowns as a true freshman. You bring back Ronnie Walker, who showed some flashes last year as well as a freshman. And then you have Cole Guest coming back from injury. He's a guy you could put, you could put out at slot. You could use as an H-back type of player. And then you have Reese Taylor, who we put in our previews at wide receiver, but you could have included him in any of the previews, probably except for offensive line and tight end. But there's a lot of pieces here, and to go with the running backs, the days of the running back getting 30 carries a game, they're probably over. Guys who want to get to the next level, get to the league, running back, the lifespan in the league is so short that you want some tread on your tires, and you don't really want those 200, 250 carry seasons to pile up. So, having multiple backs who could be really good and really limit carries to probably 15 and 20 a game for the lead running back is really going to be interesting to watch, especially as the season moves along when Ivory Winters comes in the fall. But right now in the spring, you're looking at Stevie Scott, Ronnie Walker, and Samson James coming in. Cole Guest, they said he's progressing well from an ACL injury, but we haven't heard that he's cleared for contact in the spring. My guess is that they'll back it off a little bit. This is his, I believe, third or fourth year in the program. So, he's been there, done that in terms of spring practice. You want to get him healthy and maybe give reps to some of these younger guys like Samson James, like Ronnie Walker, who didn't really get the reps last year. And then you could maybe use Reese Taylor back there as well. Anything to add on the running back position?
Well, I think the headliner just in spring practice has been able to see Samson James out on the field. Running backs, just because a lot of times you're not seeing necessarily full contact with these guys. But I think you can kind of just see, you know, what's that guy look like on the field? How quickly does he hit the hole? You know, things of that element. And I'm excited to see Samson James, a guy that was a massive land for Tom Allen and his staff, a player that Ohio State had committed for a while, and that they, you know, they really wanted Samson James. This wasn't a case of Ohio State just, you know, letting him know kind of gently, hey, we don't really want you to be coming to Columbus and take up scholarship spot. It's okay with us if you look elsewhere. That didn't happen here. They still wanted him, and Indiana was able to get him. And he was very comfortable with the staff, very comfortable with the with Dave Ballou. And so I'm excited to see what he looks like on the field for the Hoosiers. And obviously Stevie Scott's going to be the leader of this group, but definitely the depth of the position is what you're excited about. And kind of the varying skill sets of these guys. I think Ronnie Walker is more of the potential explosive home run hitter. Samson James, I think you hope to develop him as an every down back. And then, you know, Stevie Scott, we know what he can do already, and a chance to back it up in his sophomore season and establish himself as the leader of the group in spring. So it's a deep group. It's a fun group that's going to get deeper when we get to the season as well, when Ivory Winters arrives. But a lot to like, and even the walk-ons that, you know, Christian Pichak, a guy that has FBS Division One, you know, Power Five talent, he'll have a chance to show it as well. So it's a fun group, and I think the Mike Hart has a lot to be proud of and a lot to work with.
Yeah, and you mentioned those walk-ons, and as much as losing Ricky Brookins is going to hurt that running back room in terms of off-the-field stuff, you look at that walk-on program, and you have Paycheck, and you have an Irod Lloyd who's contributed on kickoffs and things like that. So you're looking at going five or six deep where you feel pretty comfortable, you know, handing the ball off every time you look behind you to the person you're handing the ball off, whether that be Irod Lloyd or Samson James or Stevie Scott or Ronnie Walker. There's just a lot of options, and I think that to keep this group fresh for the entire year, which is important. You got to be able to run the ball down the stretch, and Stevie Scott did a great job last year, but his role might be reeled in a little bit. He even had the ball a lot last year, just out of necessity that you had lost Morgan Ellison to dismissal from the team and suspension. You had lost Cole Guest to injury, you know, halfway through the first game. So Stevie Scott's numbers, you know, they're a little surprising in terms of he wasn't supposed to be the guy. Now, since they got a couple other guys in there, do they fall back to where, you know, maybe they would have been last year had he not been thrust into that number one role? And that's not a knock on Stevie. That's, you got to save some legs. Very rarely you're going to see a three-year running back just take off and go to the pros. So, you know, you can expect him to be here for another three seasons, and you got to save some tread on those tires for down the road as well. And then in bad weather games in the winter and late fall, when it's raining, and we had a lot of bad weather games at OU in the past couple of years where you had snow, you had rain, wind, extreme cold, things like that, where you need your best back ready to go late in the season. Let's move over to the wide receiver. It's a group that came back to life last year in terms of you saw the depth, you saw the talent, even after Simi Cobbs went pro. You got Nick Westbrook back. Apparently, he's having an outstanding offseason, getting back after an ACL tear in 2016. You saw him show flashes last year of what he was in 2016. He missed 2017. Flashes of where he was in 2016. Yeah, Donovan Hale became a go-to receiver as well. Ty Freifogel broke onto the scene. And then you had Wop. If Wop gets back healthy, he's a guy who could is a home run threat, a guy who could be moved around in the offensive scheme. And then you have some other guys. Reese Taylor could be used at wide receiver. Cole Guest could be used at wide receiver. And then you have Jacoby Hewitt and Miles Marshall as well, who haven't really seen the field, but have put together big off seasons and could be guys who could step up and play right away after if they could get the reps in the spring. So wide receiver, there was never a lack of talent last year. It was just the numbers you could put up could only be so much when you're throwing 8-yard slants and 10-yard comebacks and, you know, 30-yard fade routes where you don't really have a chance to run after the catch. So the talent is there for IU's quarterbacks throw the ball to talented receivers. It's can this offense now use the middle of the field, get these guys into space where they could use their speed, get upfield, and create more explosive plays. Acceleration is something that Coach David Ballou and Dr. Ray are working on in the offseason. They said that was how they're tailoring their workouts this offseason, is to work on acceleration. They said that, you know, you could get up to those top speeds, but you have to do that quickly. If it takes you 40 yards to get up to your top speed, you're probably going to get tackled and things like that. So IU needs to put the ball in these receivers' hands where they can make a play, where they could get upfield and run by guys. And a lot of times that's the middle of the field, whereas last year it became predictable. It was either a fade down the sideline where you almost have no chance to make a play after the catch. Either you're running out of bounds or you get tackled, or it was a 10-yard comeback or something short across the middle where you're just running into traffic. So what's your take on the wide receivers?
Well, Walt Fillier, you mentioned him, obviously. He's a player that I think Indiana – desperately needs him to be healthy. You know, the offense sorely missed the explosion plays. The only ways you can make an explosive play is to have a receiver capable of turning those 10-yard slant patterns into, you know, 40, 50-yard explosive plays by, you know, their sheer ability to make defenders miss and just beat defenders in foot races. And Watt Fillier was a player that we saw had the capability to do that. We saw it in practice, and we saw it against Michigan State. However, when he gets hurt, there wasn't really another guy, although Reese Taylor, I felt, could have been something like that. The coaching staff, for whatever reason, was unable to get him into position to make those plays and give him a chance to do that. So really, you didn't have that dimension to your offense. I think Walt Fillier is a player that can flat out do that. Looking for more consistency from Donovan Hale, and I think Ty Freifogel certainly showed the ability to make plays down the field, just needs more opportunities to do so. And Nick Westbrook, I would expect to have, if quarterbacks can get him the ball in positions to make plays, I think Westbrook could be an All-Big Ten type receiver this senior year. But again, a lot of the receiver production, like you said, you can only do so much with the limitations that IU had at quarterback last season in terms of vertical passing and the limitations that I think the offensive play calling put on them as well. So it's going to be an interesting group, but the one constant that I come back to is Walt Fillier needs to be healthy for this Indian offense to hit it tight.
Yeah, they need that explosive guy underneath who, like you said, could take that 10, 12-yard slant pattern and outrace everybody like we saw him do against Michigan State. or take an end around and things like that, really stretch defense vertically as well as horizontally, because you can't defend both. You could defend one or the other. Next up, TJ, we'll talk about tight ends. It's a position that really has been underutilized for the amount of talent IU has had there over the last couple of years. Yet Ian Thomas came on, had a real nice rookie season with the Carolina Panthers last year. Now, he was banged up at IU, but even then, he wasn't utilized during his 2 years there under both Kevin Wilson and under Mike DeBoer's offense as well. They lose Austin Doris to grad transfer to Bowling Green, and we wish Austin the best. He was always great to talk to, and his dad's a great person as well. But you still have a lot of talent coming back. You have Peyton Hendershot, who should be a matchup nightmare at tight end. He's one of these long, athletic tight ends who, you know, is kind of a more of a receiver than an actual tight end, but you could split him out. He could block. He had a case of the drops against Maryland. It looked like he might, you know, he had a head injury earlier in the year, a few weeks ago, coming back from that. So maybe he was still shaking the cobwebs out. But he's a guy who should have more than 15 catches at that position. It made no sense on how they used or didn't use the tight ends last year. You have Matt Bjorson coming back as well. He, at the beginning of the year, looked like a nice number two or number three tight end who could give you a catch or two a game, block well, and give you Peyton Hendershot a rest, and then he just dropped off the face of the earth. And they kind of wasted his year, kind of like they wasted Reese Taylor's year, freshman year. But he's a guy who could step in. We all thought he was going to redshirt at the beginning of the year. You know, when he came in and played well, he proved a lot of us wrong. IU brought in two tight ends last year. We'll talk about TJ Ivey in a second, but we all thought Ivey was going to be the guy to play last year instead of Bjorson. But Bjorson has good hands. He made a few good catches. You saw him in the beginning of the year be a part of that offense. I think that role expands. And Kalen DeBoer has a history of putting his best players on the field at the same time, and that's what IU has to do. You can't afford not to do it if you're IU, because your two threes and fours are not as good as Ohio State's two threes and fours, or Michigan's or Michigan State's. It's just a fact of playing in the Big Ten East and being Indiana football and rebuilding and trying to build up through recruiting classes. He's a guy who should be used a lot more. You lose Ryan Watercutter as well. He had a disappointing senior season battling a foot injury. I know that's not how he wanted to go out. But tight end, they gotta figure it out there. And Sean Bonner, who's come in, he'll be a redshirt junior. He's a guy who came in with a lot of expectations. He has not made a catch. He's played primarily on special teams. He's the backup long snapper. He's a big guy at 6'4", 253, that you'd think they could find some sort of role for him outside of a backup long snapper. And then finally, TJ Ivey at 6'5", 247, gives him another big athletic body like Peyton Hendershot, who could be a beast in the red zone. Or in those third and short, fourth and short plays where you need a guy to go box out somebody 6-7 yards down the field, make a catch, turn around and get upfield and get the first down. The fact that this tight end has been wasted for years is frustrating. I know the fans are frustrated. I know, you know, it's so frustrating that they're not using them in the way that they should be. It's mind-boggling. What's your take on the tight end position, TJ?
Bring four. I'll start with Peyton Hendershot and Matt Bjorson. I view those guys as 1-2, and I think it's a good 1-2. I like both of them. I think Hendershot, like you said, has the measurables to, and really has the look of an NFL tight end. It's time for him to put that together, and time for the coaching staff, hopefully, to give that an opportunity to flourish a little bit. I don't expect, 60 catches. No, that's unrealistic. But, I think 35, 40 catches is a reasonable expectation for Peyton Hendershot. You break that down, that'd be somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 to 5, 3 to 4 catches per game. That gets you into that 35 to 40 catch season. And I think you'd have to be pleased with that if you're Hendershot, depending on obviously the types of catches they are. But Matt Bjorson, a guy that I would expect to be more of a blocker than receiver, but he showed good hands last season when given the chance. So I view those two as the 1-2. So after that, Sean Bonner, TJ Ivey, it's a big spring for those guys because Gary Cooper will be arriving in the fall, and a player that I think is, he's a tight end, yes, but certainly an athlete. But Cooper is going to take some snaps from the tight end position group. That's kind of how where he's going to be utilized. If Cooper's out there, you're probably not going to see two of Hendershot and Bjorson and Ivy. Like, you're not going to see those guys much if Cooper's on the field. So I would anticipate Bonner and Ivy needing to have good springs to kind of ward off Gary Cooper. And if they can have really nice springs, then maybe they can find themselves, carve themselves a role. New offensive coordinator who's going to have a huge say in who's on the field. This is a chance for Sean Bonner. It's a chance for TJ Ivy. And obviously it's for Hendershot and Bjorson. They've got to show Kalen DeBoer what they have, because there's not a lot of game film of what it is that they, what they can do. If Kalen DeBoer were to go back and, look at game film of downfield plays from Donovan Hale or downfield plays from Nick Westy, give him an idea. Okay, that's what I got with these guys. Really, receiving-wise, there's not a ton to go off of for the tight end. So this spring is going to be really their first chance to show Kalen DeBoer what they can do, make an impression on him, and stake a claim to the fall for playing time. Because, if you're Sean Bonner, if you look around, if you get passed up by Ivy, if you get passed up by Cooper in the fall, what's your expectation going to be for your last 2 years? So it's a big spring for those guys, and I hope that they're able to make some plays and make a positive impression so that Kalen DeBoer is interested in utilizing that the tight end as a weapon.
Yeah, it's definitely a big – it's a big reset for the offense.
Yeah.
Guys who, may have fallen out of favor under Coach DeBoer could, win back positions and things like that. We'll see what happens after spring. Sometimes guys, if they don't like where they're standing, they'll transfer and things like that.
Right.
So you could keep an eye on that almighty transfer portal and all that stuff. But the tight end position needs to be, especially if they're going to be more efficient in the red zone, needs to be utilized more. And I think that's something that everybody can agree upon. Next up,
yep.
Let's go offensive line. You're losing Wes Martin. You're losing Nick Linder. You lose Brandon Knight, who's participating in the NFL Combine coming up.
Yep.
You lose Delroy Baker as well. So it's four guys who have had big roles in this offense and in the success of the offensive line last year and the running game and all that stuff. So who's the key to replacing all this? For me, the key is, who comes in at the guard positions and center, whether it's Harry Kreider, Simon Stepniak, who had a good year, although Michigan fans
uh-huh.
will still hate him. Simon Stepniak, Hunter Littlejohn. Does somebody else step up? Mackenzie Dora, who battled injuries last year, does he step up? I think that group, those three positions on the offensive line are my key. And then you have Coy Kronk back at tackle. And then you gotta hope that one of these other tackles can develop. A guy like Caleb Jones, you know, Matthew Bedford's an early enrollee, who's IU battled some big schools for him, who,
yeah,
you know, might not start as a true freshman, but could play his way into being a rotational player. And those are, you know, those are my keys. What are your keys to the offensive line?
Yeah, one more name, Britt Beery, a guy that came to Indiana as a defensive end, but they, you know, pretty immediately had him start bulking up, and you know, he is listed. I have not seen Britt Beery this spring, but he's listed as certainly sufficient for an offensive lineman, 6'5", 6'6", and, you know, 300-plus pounds. Size-wise, Indiana's offensive line is as big as it's ever been, and it's not a, oh, those guys are just, you know, massive and overweight. No, I mean, they look good. They look the part. And I'm really excited about the group. I would ask you, I guess, you know, how many guys do you feel good about if the season were to start, you know, a month from now? How many guys do you feel good about being in a Big Ten game? Thankfully, we don't have to worry about that. But just as a hypothetical, for me, the answer would be I feel good about 7 and possibly 8. But if I had to say good, then I'd say probably 7 of them. Not being, you know, world beaters, but being guys you plug in there and you don't have to worry about changing your offense to mask deficiencies there. So I'd say 7, but I do think that there's the potential for after the spring for that number to grow to 9 or 10, which is what you're looking for. And obviously it's a position that I think could be addressed by a grad transfer that Indiana's still working on a couple of scholarships that they have open. I think offensive line, if they can find a good fit, would be somebody they bring in as a transfer to plug in there. But they've built some injuries that ended guys' careers prematurely, and some issues just that maybe talent mis-evaluated from 3 or 4 years ago has created a bit of a gap for Indiana depth-wise that maybe forced the hand of some guys to step up a little earlier than you'd like. Somebody like Matthew Bedford, perhaps. It's not an awful situation, and it could end up being a really good offensive line that's, you know, veteran-laden. The issue just comes with depth. I, for one, think that the key to this group is going to be that right tackle position. I feel good about center. I feel good about guard. I think there's enough talented pieces there to make that work and be really successful. Obviously, you feel good about Coy Kronk. For me, the big piece is right tackle decision. And, you know, we don't see these guys practice. We don't know everything there is. But just based off of my speculation here, I would like to see Caleb Jones moved to right tackle, give him a shot to win that position. I think he has the ideal body for it. And I think if you can develop him into a good starting right tackle, I think Indiana might have some special things working on the offensive line.
Yeah, I probably feel really solid about 5 right now. Being Nora, Kronk, obviously, Harry Kreider, Little John, and Stepniak. The rest need to prove it to me. Caleb Jones worked in a little bit last year on special teams. I think he was the guy who was responsible for the block kick against Virginia off the end there, and maybe that was just him getting, you know, his feet, sea legs under him. And then he played later on in the year as well. But they there's a lot to prove along this offensive line. To me, there's five guys I feel comfortable with throwing out there that could increase a lot. I'll probably get to see six spring practices since those six fall on my 2 weeks of spring break. But if Caleb Jones could develop into the prospect that everybody thinks he can, I'd feel comfortable with him at tackle. And then
Devondre,
well, he's got to stay healthy. You know, he's a guy that they need to stay healthy as a redshirt senior. He said he wasn't coming back, and then he was coming back, which leads you to believe that they were looking to add somebody else, didn't get that person, extended him the scholarship back. But he's got to stay healthy because he has talent to be in there, but he hasn't proven that he stayed healthy. So that's why I don't feel comfortable. If you have to rely on him, I don't feel comfortable because I don't know that he'll actually be there. But this offensive line it has the potential to be really good. And all these young guys are now becoming upperclassmen. They've been in the strength program for the second time through, and we'll see. Hopefully that starts paying off. It's, the offense and defensive lines, and we'll talk about the defensive line on our next podcast. It's an upperclassman's game. Very rarely do you see freshmen and true freshmen and true sophomores really make an impact along the line unless they're really a special player. And
it's either they are special or
you're super desperate.
You have not done well enough with your upperclassmen.
Yep.
And you are forced to play those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Super desperate to do that. So we'll see. The offensive line, it's not the biggest question mark on this team team just yet. I do believe that belongs to the defensive line, but it's definitely, swirling around in the back of your head. Okay, these guys, what happens if they don't perform well? And we'll see. So let's move on to everybody's favorite topic to talk about, the quarterbacks. This is probably, I think, the most exciting quarterback room that IU has had probably since 2013. I don't know if anybody's as talented as Nate Sudfeld, but the depth is so much better. After Trey Roberson left and Cam Kaufman left, you're left with Nate Robinson and Xander Diamant and a whole bunch of, for lack of a better word, junk.
Yeah.
At that quarterback position. Now you're bringing in three guys. You have Michael Penix, who's ahead of schedule in his knee rehab, and he's, from all reports coming out of Bloomington, he looks good. And then you bring in Jack Tuttle, who needs to be cleared. Now, everybody asks me, when is he going to be cleared? When is he going to be cleared? I'll give you the answer. I have no idea. You're dealing with the NCAA. He could be cleared tomorrow. He could be cleared the day before the Ball State game. Who knows? It's the NCAA. They like to pick and choose what they do. And I don't think IU football is a priority for them. Justin Fields at Ohio State has already been cleared. So I would expect that he would be cleared for the season, but he's eligible to practice this spring.
Yep.
And I'm interested to see what he brings. He has a big arm. He's mobile enough. He's more mobile than Richard Lego, but he's not as mobile as Peyton Ramsey. So he's mobile enough to do some things in the run game, but his arm is so much stronger than Peyton Ramsey's that you could stretch the field down the field. You can make those throws over the middle. You can make those long out throws. Now, I have to see him do it in person before, I'm all in on the Jack Tuttle train. But, now Peyton Ramsey is probably sitting in the third row in terms of if you're going projected depth chart. you know, 1A and 1B is probably Tuttle and Penix, and 3 is Peyton Ramsey, which, you know, we know what Peyton Ramsey is. He led the team to 5 wins last year. If he's your third-string quarterback, you feel really good about, God forbid, the first two guys go down. Not a lot of teams could say they have a Peyton Ramsey at third string, whereas in years past right. at IU, you were either bringing up Reese Taylor, who was playing defense at the beginning of the year, or Mike Fiacable, or somebody, you know, Danny Cameron, even, you know, the depth is so much better at this possession. Yeah, bringing back nightmares. But this, the depth is so much better at this position, and hopefully the competition elevates everybody's performance. But I expect that one of the bigger armed quarterbacks is going to win this job. I don't think that they're going to announce a starter coming out of spring. I think they're going to allow Penix to get fully healthy and fully back, and they got to figure out if Jack Tuttle is going to be eligible. Because you could say, oh, but Jack Tuttle's going to be the starter, but if he's not cleared, it doesn't matter. Or vice versa with Mike Penix. God forbid he has a setback and things like that. So I think there's no rush in naming a starting quarterback. Eventually you're going to have to do it. I think you have to do it in fall camp. And I think in fall camp, if you don't know who your starting quarterback is by mid-August, like after the first 2 weeks of fall camp, things are a little amiss, maybe. But that's my take on the quarterbacks. What's your take on the quarterback position?
I mean, really excited to see how this plays out. Michael Penix offered enough in the limited playing time he had to make you excited about potential in his future. And then Jack Tuttle, you know, we don't really know. I mean, the highlight film that we have is of high school, and it's, you know, a good level of competition. But still, we don't want to anoint this kid and make him something that, you know, we want to avoid the hype train there. But I do think that it is very reasonable to say that Jack Tuttle and Michael Penix are the most talented 1-2 Plymouth City Indians has had a quarterback in a while. Has to translate to the field, though. So the spring will be the first chance for us to see that. An offensive coordinator that, you know, worked with Marcus McMarion, who is a similar skill set to these two guys, and he got a lot out of Marcus McMarion. So that's exciting. And we like the weapons that are around it. There's just a lot to like about the potential of this Indiana offense. And, you know, I do not want to dismiss Peyton Ramsey. While I certainly do not think he's going to win the starting position, I fully expect Peyton Ramsey thinks that he is going to win the starting position. I think he expects that, and he is going to compete as hard as he possibly can. Everyone that we talk to about Peyton Ramsey, everything we've heard about Peyton Ramsey is how great of a competitor and a worker he is. He's going to make it very difficult for those guys to take that position from him. And I think that that will make all three of them better. I've said multiple times here, it has to translate to the field. And the first chance we get to see of that is going to be this spring practice. And you know, you're not going to have the contact. You're not going to have the live pass rushers that have the potential to hit you. And that certainly changes things. But I'm excited to see what these guys do if they start to install the offense of Kalen DeBoer. And he gets to see, you know, how are these guys going to react to whatever situations he's going to put them into against what is a, you know, a defense that returns a lot and is pretty talented. So I'm excited about that aspect of it. If I were handicapped in the race, I think I would choose just based off of what I've seen, I think I'm going to choose a healthy Michael Penix to win the starting, seeing Jack Tuttle win it would not surprise me at all. And I think that both of them offer a higher ceiling than what IU's had at quarterback since Nate Sudfeld last year. So that's really exciting. And I think it could be what pushes Indiana over the top and gets us finally back into a postseason play for the first time under Tom Allen. That's obviously the goal. And I think the pieces are there on offense to get that done. They just have to put it together and come together quickly under Kalen DeBoer. The first chance for them to do that is the spring. So really excited about it. I think there's a lot to watch for, a lot to look for. And I know that we'll have everything covered for sure as much as possible. You don't want to take too much out of spring practice, but we're desperate to take whatever we can and attempt to give that context.
Yeah, with only seeing, six of the 15 practices, or seven of the 15 if you count the spring game, it's hard to tell. Although,
right.
Standing away for a few times, and then coming back and seeing the improvement or lack thereof, if that's the case, is kind of enlightening. It took last fall practice, I couldn't make it down to all the fall practices, but there was probably a week in between my visits, and you saw the differences a little bit more clearly and things like that. So it's going to be fall. It's spring practice. A lot of people don't enjoy it. There's an end game, but there's no prize at the end of the tunnel. You don't go to a bowl game. You don't go to the national title, but this is where strides towards that goal happen. This is the work that you have to put in order to get there. These are the little improvements where you can focus on a lot of the technical things, installing a new offense, technique, tackling, all these little things that you really don't have time for during the season outside of a couple open weeks, that you can hone your craft and take with you into the summer, into your player only workouts and things like that. So I'm always excited when the whistle blows and the balls are rolled out and practice gets going. But I understand the people who aren't fans of spring practice, who say only the spring game and all that stuff. But I'm excited to see those six or seven practices, see where this team is, and then get ready for the fall, because you could probably – see the evolution of this offense from practice one in the spring to practice 15. And that's going to be an exciting growth period to see. Anyway, TJ, thanks for joining us on the Hoosier Auto podcast. And we'll preview the defense next week and keep coming back for more previews. We are starting our defensive previews on the website. Today was linebackers. Tomorrow is defensive line, and then we'll have defensive backs and so on, and special teams and all the good stuff. And spring practice starts March 2nd. The spring game is April 12th at 7:00. It's a Friday night, the Friday of Little Five. So hopefully it is not 30 degrees and windy and stuff like that. We get to see an actual spring game, unlike last year where they were inside and forced inside, and you only got to see a half and all those stuff. So enjoy the rest of your Monday evening, TJ.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I know we're excited to get things cranked up, so stay tuned.
All right, that does it for tonight's podcast. Thank you for listening. I do want to give a quick shout out to Indiana Women's Swimming and Diving, who claimed the Big Ten title. Congratulations to them. As far as my knowledge, Indiana softball is 14-0. Awesome start for them, best start in their history, and things like that. So congrats to those sports as well. Wrestling had a big win as well, a shutout this weekend. And we'll see what other sports. Baseball's having a tough time. I think a weekend sweep at Tennessee. And, of course, basketball has kind of fallen off the cliff a little bit. Hopefully they get things righted and going in the right direction. So we have something to look forward to in March as well. But anyway, congrats to those teams who women's swimming and diving, softball, excellent starts, something to be proud of. Women's basketball as well, knocking off 10th ranked Iowa, getting their season back on track as well. And hopefully they make it into the NCAA tournament. That does it for tonight's show. Keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com for all your Indiana football needs. As always, it's free. Check us out on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Check out Vintage Brands as well. They always have sales coming up. They have new products coming in. If you like your vintage sports memorabilia, they have all that stuff, hats, T-shirts, posters, coasters, whatever you want, they probably have it. So enjoy the rest of your evening. We'll be back next week as we preview the defense.